Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio. I am Lauren Strink, a.k.a. Sparky Lee. As everybody knows me on Facebook and some other social media platforms. I'm the founder and CEO of Legacy Programs, as well as the vice president of a new vision organization based out in Massachusetts, and one of the directors of Family Rights Committee, Family Rights Organization, and the San Francisco Fellowship Prayer Breakfast Club. I just want to sit there and say thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That we got some great projects coming up as far as Legacy is concerned. We have another successful reentry, successfully and permanently, as it seems. One of our guys came home. He is doing very well. And we just picked up, I think, two clients out of a former prison that I was at. So we have one man coming home after doing, I believe, 38 years in CDCR. 38 years, ex-death row inmate. You know, from the bottom to the top, this man has done everything he was supposed to make it home to his community and his loved ones. And I can only imagine after 38 years. I mean, I'm only 41. So congratulations to you, Digger, for what you're doing. We also have another kid coming home that we were in prison together. I was the youngest one on my yard for about 4 or 5 years until he showed up. And he is on his way home as well after 20-plus years. He's just a few years behind me. So very, very glad to hear that. And so, big announcement, Legacy Programs Education Reentry. We got the Local Business Person of the Year. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not easy doing a reentry program because, you know, you get the noses and the attitudes and stuff like that of we're not worthy, we're not a real program or whatever, because, you know, reentry isn't a popular theme, but we're still hanging in there, and I'm real grateful for the people that voted for me and nominated me. Thank you, Chuck, and all the people that just really came forward and spoke up for us and acknowledged our work. As an advocate, is not very easy. It's very frustrating, difficult, and sometimes it's just thankless. But there's always that one person that comes along that you help. This is your success story, and I just want to say we have a lot of those. So hold on, my phone. Let me see. Sorry, folks. You know, it's a thankless job, you know, but like I said, sometimes one of those guys comes along and really makes you enjoy what you do, and those are our success stories to, you know, lead us to bigger and better things. And so just recently, I'm going to tell you something about working well with other organizations, is that there was a guy that was paroling the day before. I'm going to say Raphael from the GRIP program was a godsend in this, because we had a guy paroling after, I believe, 23 years, and he had no ride, he had no phone, he had nothing going on. I was not able to do anything myself at that moment. I called on Raphael. He scurried and scrambled the day before to make sure that this man had a ride to his transitional house and a phone provided for him. So a huge shout out to the GRIP program, Raphael, out in LA, for what he does, what they do. And that folks right there is why we work well with others, because you just never know, you know, when somebody can do something that you can't, who has an ability and stuff. So other than that, I was going to bring on one of the kids that I mentored in prison. His name is Ty. He is currently in prison still. He was going to call in just to discuss, you know, what is it like to grow up in a safe facility? And I thought that was, you know, we always talk about these things going on, you know, why people, we always talk about why people, you know, Marion Jacobs says it best. We, instead of focusing on why the what crime was committed, why was the crime committed, we can get to the root causes of, you know, why people do the things they do, why things are, why crimes happen, why victims are created. It's usually because, you know, like what we were taught in GRIP was, hurt people, but heal people. And that's one of the things that when we're looking at, you know, our environmental structure and influences of what's going on, not everybody has the same lifestyle. So, and society standards are so far and in between and in just like inconsistent. One month this is the thing, this is the norm, next month is another norm. It just never makes sense. So when we're looking at, you know, how people grew up, and, you know, like when we grew up in the 90s, right? A lot of us that grew up in the 90s as a teenager, life was different. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have internet. We had AOL, PlayStation 1, flip phones, and pagers with voicemail. That was our thing. So, you know, it's just one of those things that when we're growing up and we're trying to navigate this stuff, not everybody has the same tools or the same role models or the same conditions as others do. And we have to be open to that. As a white male that grew up in the urban area, as some want to call it, I call it the ghetto. You know, it's just, I grew up in a bad part of town. So it was, you know, my condition is a little different. My influences are different than a normal person my age in a city. So, but that's one of those things. And we have to embrace those. And instead of pushing people away, we really need to invite them and figure this stuff out. And Marion Jacobs is always a key note speaker and when this stuff pops up. But, yeah, we got a couple projects going on. Seems like I'm getting a lot more contact in Los Angeles, California. So if anybody, I mean, we are nationwide. We are working in different places. We're launching in Florida right now. And next month we should be launching in Ohio. But if anybody has anybody coming home, we are a wraparound program. We are case managers. We make sure that these men and women have the resources available. Instead of going and standing in a line, one of the greatest joys about running your being a boss and running your own stuff is that there's no lines, there's no answer machine. I usually pick up on the first phone call, but you know, it's just you don't have the red tape that normal people do. So we make phone calls. We figure this stuff out for whoever's coming home. Make sure that you know they have the necessities home, food, a little money in their pocket, you know, just stuff to make them successful. That they're not getting in that frame of mind. You know, going back to prison. Or I tell everybody the same thing. And it's funny about reentry because it doesn't matter who you're talking to. It doesn't matter at all. The things that always come, that they come to rise in the conversation is, you don't know what I'm going through. Okay, well, I do know what you're going through. I could take it out play by play pretty much. And that's not to boast because this is, you know, it's just that parole is very similar. Reentry is very similar. When you've gone through it and you're going through it still, there are steps to it. And right now we're writing a reentry book for successful and permanent reentry. And we talk in there, you know, the steps, what happens. What are 10, if you had 10 things, because we all know attention spans are very short in this world, right? Especially mine. So if I had to, sit there and tell you like 10 bullet points, One, most importantly, is a support network. Always create that support network, even if it's a phone call, a letter, something to keep that person human. You also got the financial aspect. In prison, we don't understand the concept of money. In fact, when you sit there and tell your loved one or tell somebody that you know in prison, hey, I'm going to send you $50, that $50 is spent within the first 10 minutes. And then we sit there and we talk about goals. Goals are very important because if you can't see the big picture, how do you expect to travel that road? If you don't have those goals set before you, and like my goals were different when I got out. You know, my goals were I wanted my organization, I wanted this, I wanted that. I wanted to go back to the prisons. Now, I haven't achieved all of that, but I've achieved most of it. But I saw myself. I envisioned it. And so you have to see yourself doing what you want to do and what steps. And those, when I talk about goals, I'm not talking about the big-ass ones where you're trying to figure it out. I'm talking about the ones that you can navigate, the ones that you can GPS, the ones that you can celebrate the small victories, as I had to learn. You know, sometimes just waking up and making it through a day should be a goal, really. And I tell people this all the time, you know, when we talk about goal setting and stuff. Make your bed every day. That's a goal. Anyone that sits there says, oh, well, that's easy. Okay, let's see how easy it is. But first, you know, start a routine. Make that a goal. Make that a goal to wake up, make your bed, brush your teeth, drink your coffee, shower, whatever you got to do, and then go forward from there. You know, those are some of the things. The substance abuse is, you know, we always talk about substance abuse is that it is a, you know, it is not an illness, it's a symptom of what's going on. I know with my substance abuse, it was always trying to escape my reality. But if, and further looking back, you know, what was my reality? My reality, I had no support network. I had no goal. I had really nothing going on for me. So how, what chances did I really have to be a productive member of society? You know, so the environmental stuff comes into play all the time, and we really have to look at that. And that's where, like, you know, when we talk about the incarcerated, you know, these are fathers, husbands, sons, daughters, mothers, nieces, nephews, you know, you go down the line, right? And the problem is that, you know, where is somebody a victim or where is somebody a perpetrator? Where is that line at? You know, and when do we give up on, like, foster children? You know, as soon as they turn 18, they're out the door. Like, we can't do nothing for you. It's done. And they're kind of, you know, the system calls it falling between the cracks. But the problem is that crack's getting bigger and more people are falling through it. And that's the, you know, their way of saying, hey, we failed you, but we don't want to be deemed responsible. And to me, that's just not acceptable, you know. And that's why I believe firmly and wholeheartedly that, you know, our communities around us take responsibility for the success and for the failure. You know, if somebody succeeds, you know, the neighborhood, yeah, no, we had a part in that. But if they fail, they simply take a step back. Real slowly, you know, like in the movies, and you go, oh, not touching that one, nope, no way, that has nothing to do with us. So we can't pick and choose what we do in the success and the failures, you know. If we either take it all or we take none of it. And so that's just what one of the things that I really want to emphasize on is that our community is so important for our loved ones coming home. And let's just be honest, I'm 100% honest right now about this, is that it may not be your loved one coming home. You may not have a bet on this horse, but the thing is, is that what happens when your loved one does get wrapped up in the system? What happens if it's one of your friends or one of your distant relatives? You know, then all of a sudden you want to care. I see so many advocates that they fight tooth and nail and they do such a damn good job. But then what happens is their loved ones come home and they simply give up the fight. You know, they don't have that drive anymore, that fight. And which is all fine. but don't claim to be an advocate if you're not going to stick it through and fight for the next. You can't sit there and say, well, I fought for this person, yeah, well, your loved one was locked up during the time. So it was very convenient for you. No. And don't sit there and pick and choose, you know, who you're going to help. Fight for one, fight for all mentality. We have to have that philosophy of that we will go through hell and back for everybody. Because honestly, and maybe it's just, you know, how I think or how I see things, but if we fell one, we fell all of them. You know, I have to be able to sleep at night. So, maybe I'm just a little different and more sentimental. I don't know. But we've got some great programs coming up with Legacy, with New Vision Organization. We're looking for more volunteers for researchers and stuff. We currently have some lifers, life without juvenile offenders, first-time offenders, actually, that are needing assistance. If we can get a pro bono lawyer, that'd be great. But that seems to be very difficult. Of course, we're always looking for grant writers, anybody that wants to come in and help, whatever capacity, you know, it's all good, you know, get in where you fit in pretty much. We're just trying to make the world a better place for, you know, people, places, and things. But, I do want to thank all the listeners. I've been going through my surgery recovery. Just, it's been one thing after another. You know, in prison, you don't get hit like this. It's very, very predictable. You know, you don't get your canteen on time. Okay, so what do? You make your food last. You have to wait 3 hours for a doctor. It's fine. You have to go to work. Well, you just go get a note saying that you can't. And you don't have to walk 20 feet to your job site. Out here, it's a little different. You know, it's, in prison, you can pull that curtain, as I say, to your bunk and disappear. You can't disappear out here. It's very fast-paced, and you don't get that opportunity to breathe sometimes. So you have to make yourself breathe. You have to get to a point in life where you can, you know, embrace the suck. In fact, I was just having a conversation with somebody this week about my buddy Blue, actually, from prison. And I told him, embrace the suck, bro. You know, just deal with it. It'll be okay. And it's something about embracing when things are bad, to where it's not really your understanding. You're just kind of going through emotions and surviving. You know, I'm learning how to be grateful for those struggles, because those struggles have created who I am today in one way, shape, or form. Those struggles have really saved me in times that are harder. And when I tell all my clients this every single time is, you know, when you sit there and think about the worst situation you've ever been in and how similar it is to this feeling right now, they're probably similar. And that was, what, 20, 30, 10, 15 years ago? And so the point of that is that it does get better. It does just, you know, you do cope with it. You do strategize through and navigate life through that situation. It's not the end of the world. So, and that's one of the problems that I have. You know, when I was re-injuring, it was end of the world. It was all, nobody understands, nobody knows, I'm the only one, I'm being picked on, it's not fair. All these social, these cognitive distortions, right? These things that just, you know, why me? Then I get to a point where it's like, why not? What makes me any better, you know? And then what helps me realize that is when I talk to people that are going through the same thing that I went through, and they're like, oh, you don't understand. You're out now. You have a job. You have your own car. You have your home. Okay. But nonetheless, I still went through all that stuff. And so I just want to encourage everybody to be patient with your loved ones, be understanding, and be nurturing. You know, don't feed the bullshit. But, you know, embrace them. Like, it's okay. It's okay to not be okay sometimes. And no matter what you're going through, people, no matter if you're sitting there struggling with your job, you're struggling with bills, you're struggling with family relationships, you're struggling with your own spiritual principles where, you know, you just don't feel like you're good enough or you haven't done enough or your life is meaningless, stop it. It's all bullshit. It's really, everyone has something to offer in this life. Everyone has a gift. And whatever you're going through right now, please, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's going to be okay. This too shall pass, as we've learned. You know, and 5 months, 3 months, a year, we're going to be laughing about it and be like, that wasn't that bad. And then because this is how life works. And maybe, you know, I'm new to all this life out here, so I'm going to, you know, I'm humbly saying this, but sometimes we just got to take that breath. Sometimes we got to laugh about it. Sometimes we have to realize that life's not about us. Our purpose, a mission, about each other. And, you know, sometimes God grabs us in different directions to get us on track where we need to be. So, you know, I don't know. It's just one of the things. I could really use your guys' support on this. You can Gmail me or email me at legacyprograms.org@gmail.com. I am running out of content, folks. You know, it seems like I don't know what's going on with the radio show as far as where I'm going to be with this because, you know, I get tired of hearing my own voice. So if you guys want to show me some love or some support on what I can talk about, what we can talk about, how to, you know, what do you want to hear? What's going to make this a success? This is your show. This is all about the viewers, not about the host. I can talk about anything from Friday to, you know, to Sunday. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, but tell me what you want to talk about and what you want to point out. And I'm out of words, you know. I'm just going to talk to myself in my office. But until then, folks, you know, a wonderful day. Stay blessed. You know, life is grand. You just got to find, the bullshit, you know, the roads to the bullshit. But you can. Not everything's going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult. Those things that we fight for, those things that we endure through is what makes the success worth it. It's what makes the end worth it. Because you cannot have happiness without despair. You cannot have hope with no hope, without any hope. You know, it's the things in life that make you appreciate when it's like that feeling where you owe a bill and you're stressing about, like, how am I going to pay the bill? But then when it's paid, you're like, oh, man, that's so good. But you wouldn't be able to appreciate it if all your bills are paid all the time, right? So think of it like that in life. You know, we just want to appreciate it. And, so with Legacy Programs Education Reentry, winning the local business person of the year, it's opened up many doors. We're actually being featured on a magazine coming up. I got to actually write the profile and send some pictures, but super grateful, always humbled. You know, I just want to say that life is good, guys, and we just have to, like I say, get past the smoke screen. You'll be all right. But until then, you guys have a wonderful and blessed day. I will see you guys next weekend, same time, same place. Please email me. Give me some suggestions. Let's talk. Even if you're promoting a business, just promote the hell out of it. I'm all for it. You know, you don't have to be reentry or socially impact program. You know, let me know what's going on. If you own an Ace Hardware, let's talk about Ace Hardware, what you're doing. I'll figure out how to navigate that. But until then, I need your guys' support and just coming forward and saying, hey, this is what we want to talk about. This is what we want you to discuss. This is what we want your expertise on. And likewise, I want your expertise and your suggestions going forward. So I want to say thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day. Stay blessed. And see you next week.